Today is Sunday, the 10th of October, 2004, and the Sunday night speaker meeting of Narcotics Anonymous welcomes our second speaker, Rudy.
Oh, Rudy.
You guys clapped and I haven't even said anything yet.
My name is Rudy and I'm an addict, and I want to thank Jim for asking me to come down and speak. I'm not a circuit speaker or anything. In fact, I'm actually a little nervous, you know, because this thing is being taped, right? You know, it just makes it that much worse because, you know. And I want to thank Vicky for sharing and for going first, even though she only went first because she lost the toss, but that's okay, you know. I just wanted to get here on time. You know, I had gone out for a ride. We went out to Palm Springs and back on our motorcycles, and it was like, you know, I hadn't quite got here when I actually walked in the door, you know, and, you know, so I've been sitting here kind of settling down a little bit, and one thing I did want to do is I wanted to send a shout out to John M., who's over in what they call the sandbox, and to the rest of the guys that are out there, you know, in Iraq and Kuwait and Afghanistan and all the other places. You know, they're all hooked up now by internet, you know. And we have a member of this fellowship, from this area, who's wandering around Europe, Bruce G. And he's been in touch by email and stuff, so I wanted to make sure I did that. I guess I can qualify for a minute. I dropped whites and reds also, you know. You know, it's funny because I think that in the beginning, you know, drugs actually worked for me, you know. I mean, in the beginning, I could build this kind of persona around, you know, drugs and using. And, you know, I remember in high school I had a book, and I had the center cut out. You know, it was like a textbook. And, you know, I would go home at night and I would roll joints, you know, and stick them in there and bring them to school and, you know, sell them for 50 cents a piece. You know, you could get an ounce for $10, you know. And, you know, I wanted to use drugs. I got to tell you, I thought everybody wanted to use drugs. You know, when I got here, I had no problem, you know, admitting that I was, you know, an addict. I knew that. My denial came in that my life was unmanageable, you know. I couldn't see that, you know. I didn't go to jail. I was a working dope fiend. Well, I mean, I went a couple of times, but, you know, it wasn't like regular, you know. I worked, I had a good job, you know, but, you know, I lived to use and used to live. And, you know, I was on methadone for about 5 years, you know, different clinics and stuff. You know, I had built that persona around, you know, drugs. You know, when I got here, I felt like I was kind of like a cardboard cutout, you know, and because there was nothing inside, you know, there was no substance. And I remember that they said, well, you know, you could be anything you want to be, you know, but my problem was, who am I? Because I did not know, you know, really who I was when I got here. I went through treatment, you know, and I want to say, you know, that Narcotics Anonymous is a fellowship. It's a support group, okay? It's not treatment, you know? I think that you can get what you need here, though, you know? My brother got clean about 8 months after I did, and I was like, you know, no, you got to go through this program, and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he didn't want to leave his daughter, who was 2 years old at the time. And so, you know, he just started going to meetings, and I think he relapsed after about 2 weeks, and since then he's been clean, you know. If I were to do the picking, you know, I know that I would get it wrong, you know, so I don't try anymore, you know. You know, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm always taking everybody's inventory, you know. And when I got here, You know, that's what I would do. I mean, that's what, because, you know, I figured, look, whatever is going on here, I'm going to figure this thing out, you know, and then I could stay clean. You know, I did get here. I got to tell you that, and I used for about 23 years, and my using progressed, and I have no doubt in my mind that I still have a drug problem. You know, even though I haven't used in over 15 years, I still have a drug problem today. The disease part comes out in different ways, right? Now, the disease part of my addiction, because as long as I don't pick up, then, you know, I don't have to worry about, you know, going to the connection. But there's a bunch of other stuff that could happen, from food to sex to buying shit, you know, to... I have this tendency to, like, you know, when I get on my motorcycle, it's like when I see that needle go 95 to 100, it feels good, you know? And then I think, what the hell are you doing, you know? So I slow down, and then I end up doing it again, you know? But my disease will manifest itself, you know, in the way I think, in the way I feel, you know, and in the things that I do. And that's the way it does today. You know, when I got here and they told me, you know, the only thing you need to change is everything. And you know, I just couldn't see that, you know. But what happens is it tells us in the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, right? And we work these steps in all our affairs, right? Which doesn't necessarily happen right away. You know, the way that the disease is progressive, the recovery is a process, and it's very slow, you know. One of the things that I do to be of service is I've got a panel. I've had a panel since I've had almost 6 months, and there's a number of people in this room that have been on my panel. It's up at the VA hospital, you know, and I go up there and, you know, and I see these, and sometimes I'll see somebody and I see them again the next year, you know. But then you see somebody that's been there and you see them at meetings and stuff, you know. But by going every month, it kind of keeps me in touch, you know, with this process, you know. You know, I think that if, you know, the stuff that we read and, you know, before every meeting, you know, who is an addict, you know, why are we here, how it works. You know, that pretty much gives you everything that you need to know, you know. But it's actually like internalizing this stuff, you know. And that's the process, you know, that takes some time, you know. You know, I got to tell you, too, you got to watch out because I've gone on vacation before. And I tend to go on vacation. You're looking at me because I jump all over the place. I know. I've gone on vacation and, like, you'll see people, like, you know, drinking and you know, and partying, and you start to think, hey, you know, and you know, because this the part of the way this thing works in my head is it gets me to forget, you know, that I'm an addict, you know, and I gotta tell you, like, when I go sometimes, like when I went to Hawaii, I went on the internet and I got a list of the different meetings. So I'd go to a meeting, right? And I went to the meeting, and then as these people were sharing, they started saying the things that were going on in my head, you know. And I was like, okay, here I am, you know, and I'm cool again, you know. You know, and but just the idea that I belong to this fellowship, right? And that, you know, okay, I'm thinking that maybe I could, you know, party a little bit, you know, and get intoxicated in some way. And then I'm going to come back to this fellowship, and then what? I'm going to take a newcomer chip? Well, that's not going to be so easy, right? You know. So then I'm not going to say anything. So now I got a secret, and that's secrets around here will kill you. Okay. You know. And so as I play that through, you know, I realize, you know, that maybe this isn't such a good idea. You know. You know, I got to tell you that I'll share a couple of little stories. One, I had about 6 months, right? And I had about 6 months clean. And, you know, they tell you not to get into a relationship until you have a year, right? You know, but I'm a little bit smarter than everybody else in the room. 6 months is good for me, except for Vicky, anyways. So at about 6 months, you know, I think that, you know, actually, I didn't want to get in a relationship. I just wanted to get laid, right? You know. And things just did not work the way I thought they were. And basically what happened was is I got my little ego just completely crushed, right? And all these feelings started coming up. And I mean, I'd probably been stuffing feelings since I was 6 years old, you know. And these feelings came up, and it was like I had no control over it. And, you know, I could tell you they were not appropriate. You know, I mean, I knew that the feelings that I were having were not, you know, necessarily related to what was going on. But it was too late. They were just coming out. You know that Pandora's box where the top opens and that shit just comes flying out, you know? And but my ego said, I ain't going to use behind this particular person, right? You know? And so I did what they told me around here, right? And I went to meetings, you know, and I called my sponsor and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And, you know, I probably looked like a monk the way I was walking around praying and, you know, and after about 11 days, it passed. You know, the feelings that I was experiencing passed. You know, and I said, so this is what they're talking about. You know, I don't have to use behind the way I feel. You know, and, you know, I've had to learn that lesson, you know, over and over and over again, right? You know, but it showed me, I think for me that was the first time that I saw what was, kind of had an idea of what was going on around here. You know, because I mean, when I first got here, it was basically, look, you know, I use drugs, these people aren't using drugs, I'll hang around these people, I won't use drugs, right? You know. But then how do you deal with the feelings that come up, you know? And, you know, if you can remember the first step, which is what I did when I went on vacation, right? You won't get loaded, right? You know, there's no doubt in my mind that I am not a social user, okay? And my guess is nobody in this room, you know, is either, right? Social users don't usually go to meetings for, you know, you know, if I pick up one time, it's about, you know, I'm gone, okay? So I'm not a social user. But then how do I deal with life on life terms? You know, and that's what the rest of these steps are for, you know. So, you know, I went through and like I did, you know, and we do it to the best of our ability, right? So I did the first, you know, the first step, and I wrote on the second and third step, yeah, I was insane. I did this shit and I did that shit and some of that stuff I'm still doing now, you know. And turning my will and my life over, okay, I turned my will over, but turning my life over took, you know, it's a little bit more of a process, right? You know, but okay, I'm with that. And I did an inventory, you know, and I had to do this inventory, and I like filled up the pages with a lot of descriptions and stuff, you know. And that was good. That was the best of my ability. And but stuff used to like come up every once in a while. And I would get kind of depressed every once in a while. And I would do stuff, you know, to get out of the depression. You know, I would work out, I'd go to meetings, I would go talk to newcomers and all that kind of stuff. You know, and then I'd go, you know, about my business, and then the depression would kind of come. And I kind of like it like on those like cloudy kind of damp days where you could like really get into that depression. You know, you could really just kind of, you know. And at about 2 years, I got my third sponsor, who I still have now, you know. So I had about 8 years. And I got to the point where I said, you know what? I think I might use, you know. And I had heard one of the guys around here saying, if you could work the first 3 steps, you could work all 12. And that sounded cool. So I started saying it, you know. But, you know, my ability was greater at this point. I knew that something was missing. And I made the connection between my depression and maybe an inventory that wasn't quite as, you know, fearless and moral as it could be. At the time it was. Remember, this is a process, you know, and this is, you know, was my experience. So anyways, you know, I called my sponsor and I said, well, you know what, because he never put any pressure on me. That's not the kind of sponsor he was. He's like, hey, you know what, everything's fine, you know. So I said, you know what, I'm thinking that maybe I should do an inventory. And he said, yeah, go ahead and write it. Let me know when it's done. So I went on, and I literally had to almost, it was like I was also almost disassociated from myself. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it was like somebody else was writing this stuff, and it was all those secrets, all that guilt and shame, that I've been carrying around, and I was like, kind of like, they would talk about carrying this bag of shit around everywhere you went, and I was like, well, I ain't carrying all that shit around, I've got it on a little floppy disk, and I just, it ain't nothing, But it was killing me. This disease will kill us. Make no mistake about that. So anyways, I did. I wrote that shit, And then other stuff, So I called my sponsor and I said, listen, I've written this, and I gotta tell you, it took me that my sponsor at this point, he was my sponsor for 6 years. So I thought maybe, I could trust him, And so he says, okay, well, I'll be right there. I said, no, I gotta go to work, man. We could do this tomorrow, And so we did. It was awful. It was terrible. I did not get all this relief, and then he wanted to share his shit, and I'm like, I don't want to hear it. I just wanted to get away. It wasn't immediate, but I haven't been depressed like that since. It gave me that freedom, because I got rid of those secrets, wow, what a gift that was, and I mean that was at 8 years, and I mean, after that, I think, I just really just felt part of, what I'm saying? Part of this process, part of this fellowship, and I don't like join anything, you know what I'm saying? But what happened was that, I was able to just get rid of all that crap, I can't say that all my behavior changed as a result, but it got better, what I found that works for me, I think, is what I do on a daily basis, which means meditation, prayer, reading some, material, connecting with other addicts, I have a regular home group. It's on Sunday night, I guess I've been going to that meeting, I don't know, for probably 14 years. I don't know, how long I've been going, but, see, Sundays have always typically been hard for me. Well, yeah. Because Sundays, everybody goes running off doing family stuff. Now, I have a family, but I don't go off doing family stuff, And so what happens is by the end of the day, I've been alone all day long, And like, I'm sick of myself, And so I go to a meeting, And I go into the meeting, and I know that for a long time, I would go into the meeting, and I'd sit there, and here we go. This guy's going to share this shit. She's going to share that shit. Here we go. And my head would be going. I'd be character assassinating everywhere, And I don't do that anymore, okay? But somewhere around around halftime, we'd get up, the cakes would go, the chips would go, and then people would come and hug me. Can't say that I mind it, And then the second half of the meeting, I would be like, and I'd be calm again, it's really amazing, the way this thing works, I mean, when you think about it, you go into a room, you sit down, and then somebody starts talking, right? And then you get up and you don't use, and you go to the next meeting, Although I gotta say in the beginning, when people would, it wasn't so simple in the beginning. I'd go in a meeting, somebody'd start sharing, and they would start talking about their using, I'd be gone. I would like zoom out, And then I'd come back and it would be, and I'd want to go use, Before I got clean, and I was on methadone, the director used to keep, she kept used to tell me, she'd say, Rudy, you need long-term inpatient treatment. And I'd be like, why? I have a job. Them guys, over there that are stealing and going to jail, they need long-term inpatient treatment. I have a job, And in the end, I ended up in long-term inpatient treatment. And when I got here, people would say they're sick, and I'd be like, what the hell are they talking about? Because I know I ain't sick. Okay. I might be fucked up, but I'm not sick. I still might be a little fucked up, I've been part of this fellowship and, in this area. Early on, because I can probably go to a number of different fellowships, but I've made my home here. And one of the things that, I smoked for a long time. And, I wanted to quit smoking, And I remember, we used to smoke in the meetings, and I remember sitting in a candlelight meeting, and somebody was sitting there, and they were like, And I said, God, man, that guy needs to quit smoking, his life's unmanageable, shit, And the next night, I was in another meeting, and I'm sitting there, and I'm going, I said, oh, no, and I say that because, it took a couple of years to actually quit, but, I actually used the 12 steps. To help me quit, and I did an inventory, and I realized that, and I thought, well, do I smoke because I think I'm cool, or, I thought, nah, in high school, I didn't smoke, and it was like, and I made a connection between smoking and my using, and there was a direct connection, and by doing that little inventory on it and stuff, and praying, and not even taking one puff, the things that I had done here and the process, for the drugs, I used that, for the smoking, and it worked, And so I know that I can't have just one puff, and so today I go out and I bike, I ride a bicycle, and it's really good. It really feels good, My life today, I mean, when I got here, I figured, look, if I could like go to a meeting and go to work and maybe work out a little bit, hey, I mean, to me, that was really all I wanted when I got here. To me, that was freedom. I mean, I had been on a methadone window for 5 years, at least, I don't know if anybody's ever bought any spitbacks or anything, what those are, I used to go on the weekend and get my dose and, I would down them both, I got to tell you that in the end, the only time that, and I'm grateful for the gift of desperation, I truly am. I recognize that. I know that the morning that I got up to go into that treatment center, my mom was getting up to go to work because, of course, I didn't have an apartment, and I didn't have relationships. I took hostages, but there's no time for that now. But I remember she said to me, she says, "You're not going to go, are you? You're not going to go." And it was that guilt and shame. That's what drove me in there, into that recovery. And of course, I was loaded, at the time, And I woke up and I'm like, oh shit, what am I doing here? I didn't get here to get clean, So much that I've learned in these rooms, and I'll just share one more thing. I also went back to school, and my motivation for going back to school after I got here was, because I had this job, and I said, if I go back and get a degree, then if I use, I can have more gain. You know what I'm saying? Because I could do something else, So I said, well, I'll go back and I'll get a degree, and, I can always get some kind of a job, right, with the degree. And so, so I went on back to school, and I went, The first thing in my life is my recovery, and that's always, And there were times when I had to back off, but I finally finished, and then I went on and I got my master's degree, and I got a real good job now, and But I remember the first class that I went back to. And I went back into this class, and I had failed the class twice. Okay? And I convinced them that if I could pass this class, if they would allow me, because my grade point average when I left school was 1.87. No, that's okay. You know, I mean, I just withdrew, failed. I was getting VA money and shooting drugs. I mean, I didn't care about that. So, anyways, I went into this class, and this professor starts to talk, right? And I'm like going, "What the hell is he saying?" Right? And I said, "You know what? This isn't going to work." You know? And as I walked out of the classroom, somebody else said, she goes, "What the hell was he talking about? I didn't understand a thing," right? So, you know, I did what I learned around here. You know, they said, you know, suit up and show up, right? You know, fake it till you make it. You know, act as if, right? You know, and so my goal was to figure out what the hell this guy was saying, right? So I'd go into class and I'd sit there and I'd be following everything he said. And after about 5 weeks, I followed everything he said, right? And I came out of the class and I go, "He didn't say shit." So I went and I got another, I don't want to incriminate myself in paper, but what I did was I went and I got another test, and I was able to give him the paper that he needed. Because, you know, we have skills, right? You know, we did get here with some skills. And I passed the class, you know. And it was all uphill from there. And no, I didn't graduate with the 4.0. It was not possible. You know what I'm saying? It just wouldn't have been possible at that point to, you know. But I got a little smarter. And when I went to get my master's, I went to a school that I didn't have to take any tests for. There was no grades given, you know. But I always did the best I could because that's something else that I learned here, you know. You know, I'm real grateful to this program, you know, to the rooms, you know, and, you know, to the people in this area, you know, that I see, you know. You know, when I got here, I'm going to say this one last thing. When I got here, if somebody had like a couple of years clean, which, you know, that would have probably been like Vicky, you know, that was a long time, man. They were like, you know, hey, they got it down, you know. And now this, you know, we've all aged, you know, which is a good thing. We've aged clean, you know. Well, some of us, you know. And you know, and it's real good to be part of that, you know, because I ain't going back to church, you know what I'm saying? You know, so I found my you know, my home here in Narcotics Anonymous, which means that, you know, I also have to come and give something back, you know, even if it's not really my forte, so to speak, you know what I mean? So anyways, with that, you know what, just don't use and keep coming back.
All right.